everybody. Welcome to the Realmcast. I am your fan of Mortal Kombat, known as Fan Tim. And today I got on the line with me my co-host, Giannis, the lore master. And also we have our special guest, Mike from Uppercut Editions. So, hi, Giannis. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm all right, thanks. And how are you doing?
Good. Mike, welcome.
Hey, glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
All right, so let's get into this. I'm just going to go ahead and briefly tell you a little bit about my experience with Mortal Kombat, and just so we all know where I'm coming from. I started playing with Mortal Kombat 2. First time I played it was back on the console, and kind of got obsessed with it from there. Ended up taking home my first trophy back in sixth grade. So I've been an avid player and kind of diving into the lore ever since then. How about you, Giannis? What's your background with the game?
I mean, firstly, I'm still kind of shocked that you actually won something. when you first mentioned that to me, I was like, what? That's pretty cool.
To be fair, my mom made the trophy and we had a tournament at my house.
That totally counts. That's even better than what I was expecting.
So, yeah, I did win it, but I beat all my friends to win it, so...
Who did you beat them all with?
So it was a tournament between 1 through Trilogy. So every game was a little bit different. I think Scorpion and Sub-Zero were my mains back then.
Classic. Can't fault you for that.
So, Giannis, what's your history with Mortal Kombat?
Well, I pretty much grew up with it. I don't remember the first game I played. But I do know that I've been playing them on the Sega. From the moment I started playing it, I was kind of hooked. And it was just one of those games that I never really put down growing up. And not just the fact that I would play the games, but I got so into the actual story behind the games and the characters and their backgrounds and everything. Just I was always hooked. And obviously, to this day, haven't been able to get over it. It's had quite an effect on my life. I mean, I literally started martial arts because of Mortal Kombat and stuff as well, you know.
What martial arts do you participate in now?
I mean, I have a second dan black belt in karate, but I was practicing Wing Chun and it's called Steel Wire Mantis or Shaolin Mantis. It was sort of a coming together of different martial arts. But I've also done a lot of Muay Thai in Thailand as well.
Nice. And our special guest today, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your history with the game?
My history with the game is that it didn't start in arcades. It started with my dad brought it home. He used to like smuggle us games in, like when we were little kids that we weren't supposed to play at like 8, 9, 10 years old. And he would always give us like the newest like video game system and bring home something. And he brought home like Mortal Kombat, and it was the version with it was the Super Nintendo version. And you know, immediately my brother and I were hooked. You know, at the same time period, you know, Doom was out and he was a big PC gamer. He would play Doom, Duke Nukem and all those games. And so we were kind of deeply immersed in all that ultra violence and all that stuff. So that's where it started for me. And then like MK2 came out and then from there it was kind of just like we were really hooked in my brother and I, and then we kind of split apart from there because I used to go to this like skating rink, like where you would go as a kid and you would skate and like meet girls and stuff like that. But I was always, there's an arcade portion of it, and that's where like I would see like MK3, and I would stand there and just watch the attract mode over and over, and as the bios flashed across, because when MK3 came out, I was always baffled why like my favorite characters didn't make the cut. Like we were like too young, but we would always make up like backstories for Cyrax and Sector and be like, oh, you know, that's Cyber Scorpion or something. it's always been very in me, and you know, I thank my dad for that. It's something that took hold and kind of never let go, and that's why you know, I'm I guess sort of a content creator now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me ask you something. What was your favorite character back in the day?
It's always been Scorpion. Noob Saibot's been my second favorite, which conveniently enough is the original Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero.
Yeah. But Scorpion and Sub-Zero have always been my my two favorites. I mean, there's other characters that are kind of like, you know, 3D era kicks in. You know, there was Havoc that was really, and Onaga.
Nice.
How about you, Yanis? What was your favorite character growing up?
Oh, I mean, my top three would be Rain, Human, Smoke, and which is obviously way superior to the Cyber Smoke. And who I think is totally underrated, but since I saw all those characters, since I first played them, I was just hooked with them. They were my favorite from the moment that they were even born, and like I just couldn't get over how awesome they were.
I think for myself, the first time I saw Mortal Kombat 2 was at a roller rink, much like Mike, and while I was there, I saw couple of, you know, older kids playing the game, and I saw like out of nowhere Reptile rips off his mask and eats the opponent's head, and I was just like, this is amazing. So then when I started playing and diving into the lore, I really got interested in Scorpion, just because after Mortal Kombat 1, his ending, you learned so much more of his backstory, and I was like, oh, this is a deeply well-written, rooted character, and I became very interested in that character kind of growing up because of that.
I think we all have to just agree that, yes, while on one hand, Scorpion is loved by pretty much everybody, there's a reason for that, and he's just, his storyline is so intricate,
yeah,
so deep.
Exactly.
At least the way it started and how it came about. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
So, Mike, which would be your favorite Mortal Kombat game if you were to choose one?
It would be for me to pick between Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 and Mortal Kombat Deception. I mean, the story mode for Deception for me was one that I spent hours on and invested in. And I loved that they incorporated the mechanic of Noob Smoke and they gave a reason. And then the whole Dragon King thing and that opening cinematic was just so awesome. And then like UMK3, it's like I said, when I was a kid, that attract mode still sticks in my head, and it's the first time you see Rain, and like that's how a conversation started, when, you know, people were like, oh, have you seen Rain? He's a purple ninja. And people were like, purple ninja? There's no purple ninja in that game. And that kind of spiraled out of control, and you know, your ninjas come back. And I remember when UMK3 was out in arcades and before it came out in home consoles. You guys remember all those gaming magazines like Game Informer, Nintendo Power, Game Pro, right? Everything that had the words Mortal Kombat on it, I made sure I picked it up, because like my family would go like every Friday to the mall, and we would, you know, use our allowance, and I would save it up for like strategy guides, even though I didn't have the game yet. It's probably a tie between those two.
How about you, Yanis? Which would be your favorite game?
Very similar. I mean, Deception for me is the top possible choice. But I mean, it's the same thing. Like the storyline, well, just the storyline, but also the actual story mode itself. The Conquest was just amazing. I thought that was genius in how they handled it, rather than just going through a sort of tower or ladder, you know? I mean, it gave a whole new sort of insight into the universe, which had evolved so much from its inception. And I mean, the roster itself, like, yes, okay, there were a few less than good characters added at the time, but at the same time, we had characters like Havoc coming in and Tanya returning to the roster. I thought that Deception was amazing. But other than that, I would say Mortal Kombat as 3. The rosters were amazing, and the designs as well, perfect. They were what you expected from Mortal Kombat.
So my favorite Mortal Kombat game as of now, like it changes every year, like every time or every 3 years or so when a new release comes out. But
fair enough.
Right now, I would have to say it's Mortal Kombat 9, just because that game brought back so much nostalgia and dumped it all into one well-made game that like was just so much fun. It, you know, bringing back all those memories. All the GameStops had like midnight release parties with tournaments and stuff, and yeah, it just kind of brought back that whole 90s era feel to me. So
yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. I still remember seeing the the announcement sort of trailer and just being shocked at the fact that Mortal Kombat was actually released.
Yeah.
Or re-releasing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was like a remake in so many ways. So it made it quite amazing. All right. So with introductions out of the way, let's go ahead and let's discuss Final Combat. So Mike, I had the benefit of meeting
you well
at Final Combat, or what it was supposed to be.
The second you said Final Combat, you got canceled like the event.
That stays in.
So yeah, let's move on and talk about the Final Combat that everybody came out for. And Mike, this is actually when I got to meet up with you for the first time. So we probably have a little bit more insight to being on the ground than Giannis would.
Just, you know, being stuck quarantined, couldn't get anywhere near you guys.
So yeah, actually at the time that Final Combat was announced that they weren't letting any ticket holders in, the corona wasn't as big of a deal in the U.S. So it was like pretty disappointing, to say the least.
I think the way it unfolded for us was the part that was kind of just different than everybody else, right? So everything was kosher until we walked into NetherRealm Studios. And everyone was like hiding behind that door in that hallway. And they were all in, right? So nobody knows what the meeting is. And the guy at the desk is talking to us. And he's like, yeah, they're just preparing for tomorrow. We're going to do tomorrow. And we're like, oh, that's cool. Let's take some pictures. So we're in there hanging out. We drop off our pitch book, make sure we have a conversation, whatever. And then it comes out as we're leaving. We pull out of the parking lot and we're driving back to get food. It comes out that there's this massive announcement.
Good, they told you to.
Yeah, they could have just walked out and said, you know, there's not going to be an event tomorrow, so maybe we'll have a conversation with you today, what have you. But there was nothing. It was just, they led us to believe, I guess, they had a conversation with us and said, I guess, nobody knew anything until they got out of this meeting that the event was canceled.
Yeah. I mean, I drove 9 hours to go to the event, and yeah, I found out, I arrived at 3 a.m., and when I woke up, the next day, that's when I found out that everything was canceled. So I got to enjoy Chicago and eat a lot of pizza. But luckily, Galloping Ghost Arcade threw their own little tournament and invited a lot of the last chance qualifiers out for that. So it was great to go there and see the community kind of band together, you know. But as far as Final Combat itself, I mean, congratulations to Sonic Fox. We actually wrote that down here to congratulate him before the tournament actually started. So I think if we were putting money on it, we would have won that one.
My pick was Ninja Killer, but I mean, he came pretty close.
Oh yeah, he did. He definitely did. Did you watch the whole thing, Mike?
No, I watched the grand finals. I was on the plane. I didn't think it was going to go as long as it was, because it started at what, like 12 in the afternoon, and then it went to like 9 at night.
Yeah.
But without all the guests and reveals and interviews and whatnot, it still went pretty long.
Yeah, if the event had actually had everybody there that they'd planned, like, who knows what time they would have finished.
Yeah, and even though, like, when I called the venue, I was like, hey, you know, when is this going to end? I'm trying to plan a departing flight. They're like, oh, 5 o'clock. Well, didn't really pan out that way.
It sounds like a lot of great organizing.
Right, I know. And it's going to drop until the very end. Because they were like, well, we want to keep people watching, so we're not going to drop.
Oh, I gave up. I had work in the morning, and obviously I'm way ahead in terms of time zone. So I gave up waiting for the Spawn trailer.
Oh, you didn't even see the Spawn trailer.
Until I woke up in the morning. I watched it right before I headed off for work. At least I did go to work really hyped.
So speaking of the Spawn trailer, what'd you guys think?
I mean, he's out now for early access, but the trailer was definitely something that got you interested in the character if you weren't currently interested in Spawn, or if you didn't have any interest in Spawn. Yeah. I mean, you see a lot of pro players that are picking him up that have no idea who he is, or have very little idea who he is, that are picking up comic books and checking out the HBO series, which is still great to this day.
Yeah.
but it's cool. I mean, and Keith David, you know, his intros, his voice is like butter, and like the mid round dialogues and stuff he has. It's so good.
I think they definitely did it right, bringing back Keith David, and you know, even the design work on the character looks like Spawn. It's kind of how I imagine Spawn would play in a Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah, if anything, he seems more, I can't believe I'm saying this, but he seems more Mortal Kombat than a lot of the characters on the actual, they really game very well. I mean, Timo knows this, I'm one of those guys who really hates guest characters in the game, but you know what, I'm perfectly fine with this, and in fact I'm excited for him. The trailer definitely got me hyped as well. I think that you could tell just from the trailer that NetherRealm Studios had gone all out with him, and now playing him in what is pretty much early access, I suppose, you can tell really they did go all out. He really plays fun. Everybody's saying it's a bit, I mean, gameplay wise he's a bit slow, people are saying, but I think it suits him perfectly.
One thing about his design, I don't know if you guys noticed, but one of his legs is bigger than the other. Have you?
Yes.
Do you know why that is?
I actually don't know. I know it's part of his character, but I don't know why.
How about you, Mike?
Isn't it the like the bucket leg or something like that? It's a
yeah. So in the earlier comics, he had one of his legs ripped off, and it and regrew, and so that's why one of the legs was always bigger than the other. So it looks like they kind of stuck to like the more traditional Spawn that a lot of people who had kind of grown up with him would be familiar with.
That's really cool. I mean, a lot of people are complaining about the leg, and I'm just like, I mean, it's not that bad, firstly. If anything, it looks cool to me, but it has its roots in the comics, so there's not really anything to complain about, especially if you have an option to make a, you know, go with a smaller looking leg.
The gear allow you to basically make whatever version of Spawn you want, except for Medieval, but it does allow you to basically really make whatever you want, and it's really cool, especially the Deadpool one.
The Deadpool Spawn. I love how that's what everybody calls him.
I expected it. There was no way they weren't gonna do that. And like, I'm not a fan of the whole sort of military character thing. I think we have way too many special forces characters, but I think the way they've implemented just, well, guns and everything into his kit and his design.
Yeah, he doesn't play so much as a military character. He is a comic character with guns, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would say he uses the more in the cape than anything else.
I love also seeing how excited Todd McFarlane was to see Spawn in this game. Like, you know, I think it's kind of in his own way, he's fanboying that his character is getting used. I mean, he does that with every time Spawn seems to be used in anything, but it's great to see his excitement.
Yeah, especially after all these years of Spawn being, well, hinted at or asked for, you know, like so many fans were actually demanding K9 since Freddy was in. And I totally see why. Like, as I've said, I don't like the guest characters at all. Perfectly fine. See him actually finally make his debut in the game.
It makes sense more, I guess. They did like one skin for each of the guest characters that is their Mortal Kombat version of the guest character. So like, they have the NetherRealm Studios Spawn, and that has like that more Mortal Kombat look. And I know they did it for Joker too. Yeah.
And those are the skins I find myself using a lot more, to be honest. I mean, like I said, it's the Mortal Kombat aspect that I love about it. So yeah, I've been going with the Mortal Kombat Spawn look.
And along the same lines of skins, what are you guys' thoughts on the release skins that just came out?
I actually have a thread open still on Reddit. I was looking at it earlier, and there's just this comment from some guy hating on the Jackie skin. And I totally agree with him. I think that they're pushing her character, firstly, way too much in comparison to how she's been, for lack of a better word, welcomed by the community into the game. But I think that of all the characters who could have got, it should not have been her. What do you think?
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, of any character to get that skin, I mean, you could have gone with D'Vorah, you could have gone with collector even.
Scarlet.
Scarlet would have been really cool because you could have done She Spawn with the red hair. You know, any other character. You could have even done like anti-spawn skin for Scorpion. Or Redeemer. But, you know, instead they were just like, let's give Jackie two skins and see how the community reacts.
Jackie seems to be one of those aspects of the game that they don't care about the reactions. Jackie, each time that I could go on about this for days, to be honest, but every time she's been brought up by another room studio, positive light and I negative reactions. And to be fair, I am part of that negative reaction. But one thing that always sticks out to me is when right before MK11 actually released, Ed Boon, he said that we're having returning fan favorites such as Jackie. And the entire Twitch chat watching the stream was just like fan favorite one. So to see her get two skins now was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, and I can't imagine, you know, there's still characters that haven't gotten a single one from the DLC, which really, really stinks.
Not only that, but her second skin too, the, was it the space marine?
Meant to be Ripley, you can't tell. It looks just like one of her normal skins, to be honest. And to be fair, as well, Kotal Kahn's skin looks cool, but I feel like Nightwolf would have benefited from this. It seems that they're trying not to give DLC skins to DLC characters.
I'm trying to think of when they would have done one, and the only one I can think of, I guess Shao Kahn are technically sort of DLC Combat League, but that's all I can really think of, those guys getting skins. It does seem like they're not getting the same support.
And even then, I don't even know if I would really go all out and say that they're DLC characters. If anything, sorry, but Shao Kahn should have been part of the base game if he was that involved in the story. That was not a good decision, in my opinion.
Yeah, I also agree with that. I mean, it was the same thing with Goro, but Goro wasn't even involved in the story in MKX. But Shao Kahn probably should have been. I mean, you fight him in the story mode. So
yeah.
That alone should have been, you know, warrant enough.
Exactly. Although, I mean, now that we're on this topic, sort of, it does seem like Shao Kahn's character has the fact that he's playable has been detrimental to his character in this game. But that seems to be a whole other topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree.
All I got to say about that is make out world great again.
Let's not open that kind of worms. You already opened the Jackie one with me, so yeah, we should not go there.
Yeah, as far as Final Combat, I mean, also something else that we were kind of expecting, like a lot of fans were expecting, was the announcement of a Combat Pack 2. So I myself am pretty surprised that there was no mention of that at all, and kind of wondering if there is going to be a Combat Pack 2.
I mean, I've tempered my expectations. I always thought that it would debut with Combo Breaker. And then Combo Breaker has always been like a NetherRealm-centric event. Takes place in Chicago. So that's when I figured they would probably do it. And I personally don't think... I mean, I'm on record knowing that, you know, there was a Switch leak. And those characters are going to come because everything else is already to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're at least getting three more characters and some stages. So I can hope and dream all I want. Six characters, nine characters, what have you. But I know they're not coming, so I'm not gonna get my hopes sky high. It seems to kill me every time one of these games come out. I'm like, I can hope and dream that, you know, Smoke will come back, or they'll put Chameleon in the game, and Chameleon will be like Triborg. Oh,
you must have been as crushed as I was with the Shang Tsung reveal then for Chameleon.
Oh yeah, that, because Chameleon would have been perfect for that type of situation.
Exactly.
And it would have made everybody happy. And then you know, I know obviously what's coming for that stuff, and it's been out for ages. For that to be said, I mean, I'm happy some of the characters they chose, but I've always thought it would be May that they do the teaser, you know, with like just the name, what have you. And then after that, they'd probably say, hey, we're going to release these over the summer.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, they wouldn't want to take away from the Spawn hype just to give a bit more excitement. I think Spawn carried it all on his own anyway. And the moment that, I mean, it happens every time. The moment a DLC character drops, or the final part of an announced DLC is, just announced, really, people start looking forward to the next thing anyway. So this is a good way of sort of handling it, I must say. I do hope we actually get one. According to the leaks, yeah, it does look like we should be getting one. If anything, there are multiple leaks which state that we should be getting three combat packs. Ed Boon was quoted as saying that they are going to be supporting this MK for the longest out of all their games so far. Now, whether or not they intend to actually do that, or if they are just going about things in a sort of roundabout way and just saying, oh yeah, well, we're just going to keep the servers up longer, it remains to be seen. But I'm like you, I'm trying to temper my own expectations, especially after MKX with Rain featuring heavily in the story and then never being made a DLC character or even just being on the base roster. So yeah, I feel you.
But instead of Combat Pack 2, we did get to see the new Harley Quinn animated special, so we got that for going for
there
us.
There you go, Mortal Kombat fans. Here, actually, that seems to be the... It's always a, here you go, Mortal Kombat fans. We know you want Mortal Kombat stuff, so here's something from a different franchise.
But in all seriousness, we did get to see, finally, the Mortal Kombat animated movie. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about it. I'm glad to see, you know, Mortal Kombat getting more of a mainstream, not just video games anymore, like kind of getting back into how it started. Like, I would say advertising to kids, but I don't know if kids are going to be allowed to watch this one just because of its R rating. But it's good to see that they're doing more with the franchise.
I would have to agree, and it comes out at a really weird time, right? So April, the end of the month after Spawn comes out, and then May would have been Combo Breaker, right? So you're filling every month with something Mortal Kombat, which is what they want you to do. So how funny would it be if, you know, on the DVD release or what have you, it ends and there's your Combat Pack 2 trailer?
That is really cool, but I do not see them going that route. they want to generate as much hype as possible, and that tends to be through for some weird reason with the marketing team. I'm sorry, guys, but I don't know how you are doing things. You release trailers at interesting times out of nowhere. So, I mean, it's a good idea, but like I said, I don't.
Yeah.
But the animated movie itself does look amazing, and I'm in the same camp as you guys. I think that it's about time Mortal Kombat got some attention on different mediums rather than just the games. Now, we did have Mortal Kombat Legacy, which, to be fair, I loved, despite its sort of different sort of retelling. But that was, well, that just disappeared after a while, right? They just threw it. And I'd love to see a series of Mortal Kombat animated movies, or even just an actual series itself, because I think that Mortal Kombat would thrive in such.
Yeah, Defenders of the Realm 2.
In fact, I'm actually more hyped, honestly, based on what I've seen, I'm more hyped for the animated movie than I am for the live action film. Now, I am still excited for that, but there seem to be some interesting decisions having been made, which I don't know if I can get behind.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the best with the live action movie. I don't know if I'm going to get that, but I'm hoping that is amazing. I know the team themselves have put a lot into that, so that's what I'm hoping they're going to make something kind of amazing and unexpected. But we'll see. Only time will tell on that.
Well, I mean, the director himself seems to be very involved with the community. I am curious to see if he can really appeal to, well, the original fans who care about the story being consistent with what we've had, which is why I said, from what I've heard, I'm not too optimistic about that being in some ways. But I am still excited to see it. I think that we need more Mortal Kombat anyway, and the animated movie is a great way to start, especially with the fact that they've gone with the Mortal Kombat X designs. Now, it is interesting that they went with MKX over the MK9 designs, despite it being a sort of retelling of MK9. But I'm happy that they've gone with the MKX outfits over the MK11 ones, to be honest.
And I think Mortal Kombat 11, there's not one particular outfit design. So, because they have so many different gear sets and stuff. But Mortal Kombat X had kind of this iconic, modernized look to it all, which...
Yes.
Yeah, it seems to me why they're going with that type of outfit. Versus like the Mortal Kombat 9 or even the Mortal Kombat 1s through 3 outfits.
It's a shame though, because that's what we've grown up with Mortal Kombat, you know? So to see such a heavy aesthetic change makes like they're not those characters anymore.
Mike, what do you think? Do you have any feelings on the kind of design work that they put into the animated movie?
I know they were working on it when MKXL and MKX still a thing. They've been working on it for a while, so I think
that explains everything.
Oh yeah.
I think that's why they ultimately decided to and then release it. I mean, I'm not partial to any type of design for said character as long as it represents said character. But I mean, there's a couple in MK9 that, you know, obviously I'm partial to. Sub-Zero's base costume from MKX into Bihan. Because I guess he never wears that in the story mode or anything canon, that base model that's in there. So obviously that would have been the wise decision. So I guess that worked. But I really like the aesthetic of it. It mirrors some of the newer DC animated films that are out, which seem to get really good reviews. I mean, the last R-rated DC movie was The Killing Joke. I know a lot of people are really up in arms. How the story is told. I don't have any type of connection to the costumes they're using in the movie. It does, since they were working on the animated film since MKX and MKXL, that it does seem to be rather fitting. It just, I would assume that's how long it takes for, to put that type of feature together. So now it's coming out during MK11 after they released all the combat pack characters. People are always looking for more content and, a lot of the costumes are fairly iconic and recognizable, so you can definitely say, hey, that's Scorpion, or hey, that's Sub-Zero. The MKX Sub-Zero, though, is everyone knows it's the younger brother, but he never uses that base model costume in the story mode, so it makes sense. So let's make this Bihan. The only puzzling thing is that I guess Steve Blum voices both Sub-Zeros, so...
That is definitely a positive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good. Like, they got a lot of the original voice actors. I mean, you had, the original Scorpion voice actor who's been voicing him since MK versus DC and Patrick Seitz.
Yeah.
And then you have Joel McHale and even the Raiden actor, even though you didn't get Richard Epcar, it's still pretty good. But overall, I like it. I like the artistic style. I like that they're including other characters. I mean, the story's centric on Scorpion, but the tournament still happens. So, you got Reptile and Mary. They're giving us little nods of other characters, I guess, being there, even though they probably weren't. I mean, you see Natara in the dining area and all kinds of Shokans and Centaurs.
And, speaking of the animation style, too, at first I was a little taken back by the animation style, but when you consider it's a Warner Brother production, they're almost giving it that DC type of treatment that they give most of their animated properties.
I'm actually not too keen on it, purely because it seems a bit too blocky, if you get me. I expect more from, the DC animations. If you compare any of those to this, you can see the difference in style, and I worry that that was a conscious decision. But I think that if they'd continued down the same sort of animation style as they've gone with DC, it would have looked a lot better. Because right now everything looks chunky, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's kind of an in between of the DC Batman animated universe kind of style. Yes. With like a little bit more detail in it to kind of differentiated, I think.
Which ironically makes it more DC.
All right, so Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about the encyclopedia? That's why we brought you on here. We want to hear a little bit more and kind of tell us what you've been working on. I know this has been a process for you guys. You guys have been working on this for quite a few years, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been 5 years now. We started it in 2015, and it started as a petition. And the petition got over 10,000. You know, obviously, we needed to take further steps. I mean, we had Sean Kittleson kind of spurring us on just to basically get things going, and say, hey, it takes a little more than just a petition to, you know, what you want to do. And then that's where, you know, we started to build the team together and started to work things together. And at the start, it was my designer and myself, Tommy, on MKO, and we decided to do some mock-ups. Look, as we started to get more and more into it and intricate, start looking more and more at other things that would impact the actual project, like going to events, promotions, and doing a lot of, you know, asset protection and collection. As the book got bigger and bigger, you know, we kind of had to expand and obviously form a team, you know, a team of six people or seven people.
That's pretty great. A lot of fans have kind of been expecting this book to come out for quite some time. What are kind of the boundaries and limitations right now that are preventing it from actually being on the shelf, like to where we can purchase it?
Copyright. We don't own the IP of Mortal Kombat, and Warner Brothers is very protective of it. That being said, we've been pretty open in communicating with them in terms of, you know, what we're doing. We haven't sold any books. We haven't made any of the project. We've been very open in saying we want to work with them and that we would like to do the book and that we're not seeking really any monetary compensation for what we're doing. We just want to get it into Mortal Kombat fans' hands. WB has not been the easiest to play ball with, as most, I mean, they handle multiple IPs.
That is interesting, though, because you mentioned that Sean Kittleson was, well, interested in helping you guys out in some way, or at least you were in cooperation with him in some form. But to hear that that's the case, but then the WB are kind of holding you back is pretty interesting.
Yeah, he worked on multiple different projects, but no longer works for NetherRealm Studios as of after the first couple months after the game.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the only one that's handling story now is Dominic.
All right, that's some good information. I had no idea.
Yeah, that was after May. But Sean works for Skybound right now, and he does a lot of comic work. But he did work on the Mortal Kombat X comic books, Injustice 2, and MK11 directly. So he's been an awesome resource for. And he's been a great, great supporter and proponent. But it's been definitely trying to get this book to fans. I mean, we've definitely done prototypes and shown via content creators to help get the word out better. But outside of that, I mean, that's all we've done with it.
Yeah, and actually, that's I managed to see it in Chicago this past weekend. And I don't think a lot of people realize when they, like, even the fans have been tracking this for a while. You know, they think of a Mortal Kombat encyclopedia and they think of it as a kind of a catch-all book that has, you know, like your favorite characters, bios and things like that. But you guys have gone all out. I mean, you have everything from every level that was ever been included. You have gear sets, you have guest characters and rumored characters that never actually made into the game. I mean, you guys have every single
hornbuckle
thing. Yeah, hornbuckles in there. I was looking through it. I mean, they have everything you could imagine Mortal Kombat wise has been included in this book, and it's amazing.
That's one thing that has always excited me. I mean, I remember hearing about this project right around when you guys were starting it, and I was so excited because it sounded like something that I myself would love. I mean, being so into the lore of the games, this was just like the perfect thing to have. And I mean, physical copy would be amazing, but even online as an online resource, because right now people use what? I mean, MK Fandom, I suppose, but the actual encyclopedia from like what I have seen and everything, this is just an amazing potential resource. And it's just so cool to be able to compare the things that have changed throughout the years, to be able to look into certain details of certain characters and everything. I think it's an amazing project. Myself, I'm really hyped to see it come to fruition.
It's been a labor of love to be seen. But what we show digitally is completely different than holding it in your hand. I mean, it's a whole different. And we find that when we show it to people online, they're like, okay, it's an image, you know what I mean? But then when they hold it and flip through it, it's kind of like you're immersed. You know, it's there. That's one of the things that keeps doing what we're doing.
Do you guys remember when Mortal Kombat 9 first came out and they included the collector's book with it?
Yes, I have it.
This reminds me of a souped up version of that times 1,000 with everything in it. I mean, it's just unbelievable the type of product or the type of book that's getting created here. So, Mike, where can people follow the project? Where can they learn more about it and kind of keep track of everything that's going on with it?
They can follow on Twitter at EncyclopediaMK. They can also follow on Facebook at the Combat Encyclopedia Project. Those are only two avenues. We did have an Instagram account, encyclopedia.mk. That's on Instagram. And then we will be doing more and more stuff as things kind of go, including working with esports folks and getting more of our content out there. Our site, uppercuteditions.com, is currently down for maintenance, but we should have more on that pretty soon.
I was just saying, I'm happy to hear that you're going to be working in cooperation with the fighting game community, really, because one of the things that MK has been doing lately is moving more towards a sort of competitive focus rather than a lore focus, as can be seen by the fact that they've removed, say, bios from Mortal Kombat 11. You would have this sort of project going on accessible at fighting game tournaments is amazing, because that would actually show a different side of the game or the series to people who pretty much just play it for competitive reasons. I think that that's a great way of exposing the series in a different light.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And we want to be a catch-all. So that's what we're trying to do. I mean, the book will cover everything Mortal Kombat. So TV shows, comic books, appearances outside of the games, everything MK will be in the book. So it's, you know, whatever version of whatever character that person connects with will be there.
You know, I myself am really excited about this. You know, how can the fans kind of get involved more with the project and kind of make sure that Warner Brothers and NetherRealm know that we want this? Like, what would you recommend as the best course for us as fans to kind of reach out and let them know that we would like to see this made?
I would tag us in any, you know, WB Games, Warner Brothers, or NetherRealm Studios stuff, or, you know, contact Warner Brothers or NetherRealm Studios by just tweeting at them and saying, hey, we really want this Combatpedia to happen. Maybe we put Combatpedia as a... the newer book is being penned as the compendium, as it's going to be much larger than the Combatpedia was. But, you know, doing that helps us a great deal, and we'll make sure we share that stuff that gets to the right properties.
I was curious as to how you were managing with, say, the ongoing retcons, as obviously you'll be writing one thing, and then all of a sudden a huge aspect of a certain character or even the actual story itself changes. So, I mean, to use an example, it would be the existence of the Titans, which has been revealed in Mortal Kombat 11. So how is it that you go about dealing with these sort of retcons whilst maintaining what you have written in the past from previous entries?
So everything in this current book was rewritten after MK11, so it was kind of a massive undertaking. But basically what we're doing with retcons is we're noting them on character pages, or if they happen in an alternate timeline or what have you. But those things are noted on said pages, like, hey, in previous games, this was the case versus what happens here. So we make sure that, you know, the fan is aware of what exactly has been happening or what has changed over this, you know, the course of old timeline to new timeline or, you know, game to game.
Yeah, that seems like the right approach to take, especially considering so many things continue to change even as DLC characters are released.
Yeah, and there's plenty of retcons to go around.
Oh, no, but that sounds great. I'm really excited to see this project come to life, and I look forward to seeing all updates.
So everybody, make sure you are following the Encyclopedia Compodium on Twitter at EncyclopediaMK, and also via their other social media presence at Uppercut Editions. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today on the Realmcast. And be sure to check us out. We have a couple different Facebook pages we got. There is the Facebook group, the Mortal Kombat group. If you just search in Facebook for that, or go to facebook.com/the Mortal Kombat group, you can find us there. Or also via the meme page.
The Mortal Kombat meme realm, you're formerly known as Mortal Kombat Memes 2019. We'll be sharing all of the ways that you can check out the encyclopedia on both. Right. And we'd love to even have questions with us on those pages anyway.
And Mike, before we let you go, what is your favorite finisher? Fatality, brutality, friendship? What's your favorite finishing move?
You know, there's that fatality where, like, Scorpion summons you to the Netherrealm in, I think it's MK Trilogy. And, like, he raises his hands and 50 scorpions all kind
yes.
of bring up. And then like, that is the most out there, strange fatality to me. But, like, I love that.
That is a great fatality. And definitely, you have some great taste. I can tell just from that.
That brings back so many memories.
Thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you, guys.
To all listeners, we plan on doing this podcast bi-weekly. We actually plan on bringing in other guests as we go through. And on the next one, we're looking at having a sort of well-known Mortal Kombat YouTube. See if you can figure out who it is. And please join us next time.
Yeah, that's all. Thank you for joining the Realmcast.